evening. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 53 from the hardback hymnal, number 53, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. We'll sing the last phrase in each verse twice. Let's all stand together.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear, and drives away his fear. Dear name, the rock on which I build my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace, with boundless stores of grace. Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death, refresh my soul in death.
Please be seated.
Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. I've titled the message from Psalm 77, Forsaken by God. And it is a psalm of our Lord crying out to his Father, as is Psalm 22. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Here's a window into our Lord's heart as he is experiencing being forsaken of his Father. And in spite of the fact that the Father is not answering him, he says in verse 3, but thou art holy. Thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's my hope. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. None to help. Our Lord went to the cross all by himself. Let's ask the Lord's blessings on our time together tonight. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace, aware, as you have made us, of our need for grace and our dependence upon thy dear Son for all of our acceptance before thee. For Lord, outside of him, we have no righteousness. We have nothing that would merit favor with thee. And all that we have in and of ourselves would require your holy judgment. But Lord, what great hope we have in knowing that you have poured out your wrath on our sin bearer, thy dear Son, our substitute, and our surety. Lord, we pray that you'd be pleased this hour to cause us to see him in thy word and bring us by your Spirit to rest our hopes and our hearts in his glorious person and in his finished work. We thank you for his faithfulness in fulfilling all that he committed to do. And Lord, we pray that we would find hope in thy salvation. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Number 224 from the hardback hymnal. Let's all stand together once again.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair. Nor if I walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 77, please? Psalm 77. I do not deny the fact that some believers struggle all their lives with depression. There are troubles and afflictions in this world, and each one of God's children have different thorns in the flesh that they have to deal with. I do not doubt that depression is real, and I'm sure, never having really experienced it myself, that untangling the cause of it is very complicated. The scripture makes it clear that we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. We are physical. We have physiological issues that can relate to afflictions and discouragements and depressions. We have emotional issues and spiritual issues. That having been said, I think there is something much, much more encouraging in Psalm 77 than words to the depressed. Is the Lord able and will he deliver his children from afflictions and from discouragements and depressions? Yes. Yes, he will. He will. Psalm 77, I've read a lot of commentaries on Psalm 77. I've listened to a few messages on Psalm 77 from men that I respect. And almost completely without exception, the words of Psalm 77 were presented as words of encouragement to those who are suffering from some sort of mental or emotional or physical affliction or depression. My heart goes out to anybody that might be in the midst of that. And I would say to you that these words that Asaph prays to the Lord would be good words for you to pray. But I would also say to you that to see these words as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was being forsaken of God, will be of greater encouragement to you and will be of great encouragement to every believer, regardless of what their troubles are, what their afflictions are. We often are reminded that we don't really understand anything that we believe. And that's true. And the more the Lord reveals himself to me, the more I come to realize how little I know. You know, it's that old axiom, the more I understand, the more I realize I don't know. And that's so true. We are dealing with a mystery here that is beyond our comprehension. As far as what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in the afflictions that he bore in his body, in his soul, and in his spirit, as he was forsaken of God as our substitute and as our sin bearer on Calvary's cross. Though we're not capable of understanding it, I don't want us to look at Asaph as an example. You know, aren't you encouraged when you read Hebrews chapter 11 about all those Old Testament saints? And starts with Abel and Enoch and Moses, Abraham and Sarah and Moses, and goes all the way down through David. And the scripture never says, look to these individuals for your encouragement. The point that I'm making, matter of fact, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, right after these men and women are mentioned, the scripture says, seeing therefore that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset, every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the hope that was set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. So, that, you know, to say that these were words from a man who was suffering from depression and that we can learn from his example how we ought to pray, I think is missing the point. Is missing the point. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he actually was forsaken of God. He actually was. I was thinking of an illustration. When we feel forsaken of God, we feel completely overwhelmed. We fear, perhaps, Asaph says, the Lord has cast me off. His mercy is clean gone. His mercies, his promises are not for me. You know, we may experience those feelings of affliction, discouragement, and even maybe moments of depression when we reflect on these things. But I was thinking of an illustration of a numbers line, and take a numbers line and has zero in the middle of it, and the plus numbers are on one side and the negative numbers are on the other side, and we sort of bounce between negative one and positive one. You know, and if we're on the positive side of zero, we feel pretty good about things. And we're on the negative side of zero, we get discouraged. But we, our whole lives, we're just kind of vacillating back and forth between negative one and positive one. What is impossible for us to comprehend is that the Lord Jesus Christ went from the infinite end of the positive scale to the infinite end of the negative scale. How can we enter into that? He went from perfect acceptance and perfect enjoyment in terms of his relationship with the Father to being cut off and forsaken of God. We're so accustomed to sin, and we're so accustomed to living out of fellowship with God for periods of time that we have no understanding of what the Lord meant when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ went from the infinite end of the positive scale to the infinite end of the negative scale. He went from perfect communion with the Father to total estrangement with the Father. He went from perfect happiness to complete sorrow. And here we are, moving back and forth on one side or the other of the zero. And he went from the infinite to the infinite. Why did he do it? Why would he suffer such a thing? This is the cup that he pleaded with the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me, let it be, Lord. Oh, I don't want to experience sin. I don't want to be cut off from God. I don't want to suffer. This estrangement from my Father, who I have been in perfect communion with for all eternity. And yet he did. He did it out of fulfillment to the promise that he made to the Father. And he did it out of love for his bride. We cannot enter into what that means. We cannot comprehend it. And had the Lord not given us the words of Psalm 22, and had he not given us the words of Psalm 77, we would have no window at all into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is suffering, being forsaken of God. And here's our hope, brethren. We get on the negative side of zero. We look unto Jesus, who went all the way to the end of the scale. We look unto him. And we know that, Lord, the discouragements and the afflictions and the troubles that I'm experiencing are nothing compared to what you went through. You bore all the sins of all of your people, of every generation. You, Lord, I have felt being cut off from God, but I've never been cut off from God. Never been cut off from God. His grace has never been cleared gone from me. His promises have never been ineffectual for me. I may have felt that way, but it's never been so. It was so with him. It was so with him. He knew what it meant to be cut off from the Father, to be forsaken of God. And this psalm makes it so clear. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't some depressed psalm writer by the name of Asaph that is telling us about his struggles with faith. This is the encouragement that the child of God needs to know that Christ has experienced what I go through infinitely beyond anything that I know anything about. And when I need encouragement for my faith, when I need encouragement for my discouragement, I don't look to Abel. I don't look to Abraham. I don't look to Moses. I don't look to Sarah. I don't look to Samuel or David or all those men and women that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. I look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He suffered for me. And he knows so much more about it than I could ever even. My experience with affliction is nothing compared to his. Yeah. Look at what the Lord says in verse 1. There's a change that takes place between verse 1 and verse 2 in this psalm. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Well, that's a good thing. Aren't you encouraged when you pray unto the Lord and you feel his presence and you know that he's hearing you and he gives you peace and hope and encouragement? The Lord Jesus Christ knew that better than we've ever experienced it. In John chapter 11, when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, when Mary and Martha were grieving and the Lord grieved, the scripture says he wept. He wept. He grieved over the affliction that they were experiencing. And then he prayed out loud. Father, I know that you hear me always. But I'm praying this prayer so that they'll know that you're my Father and that you're hearing the prayer that I ask. I cried unto God with my voice. With my voice. And then in Luke chapter 10, the Lord said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. And then he turned to the disciples and he said, you've been given light that those Pharisees don't know anything about because God's answered my prayer for you. I prayed with my voice and God heard me. I prayed for the Father to raise Lazarus from the dead. And when I said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth. Why? Because I prayed with my voice to the Father and he heard my prayer. John chapter 17 was prayed at the Last Supper. And the Spirit of God gave John the ability to remember everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said. He prayed this prayer with his disciples. The scripture says in John chapter 17, and when he finished, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And he went straight from there to the Garden of Gethsemane. Turn with me to John chapter 17. I prayed with my voice, and thou heard me. We have recorded in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ oftentimes retired unto himself and spent all night in prayer. All night. Now when the Lord prayed with the Father, it wasn't like when you and I pray. You know, we can't pray without being distracted, can we? We don't pray very long without our minds going off on something else. Prayer is a struggle for us, isn't it? Real prayer. Wasn't for him. Oh, he spent all night in fellowship with the Father, crying out to the Father. And the Father heard every word. He was communing with his Heavenly Father, just like he had done for all eternity. I cried unto the Father with my voice, and he heard me. And when the Lord prayed in John 17, and he said, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He lifted up his voice. This happened at the Last Supper. The disciples were all there. He looks up into heaven. He lifts up his voice. That's what Psalm 77 is talking about. I cried with my voice unto God, and he heard me. And you know this high priestly prayer. What a glorious prayer it is. Father, I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them unto me. I pray that thou would keep them from the world. And hear the Lord saying in Psalm 77, I cried with my voice unto God, and he heard me. He heard me. Peter, I've prayed for you. I prayed for you, Peter. And when you are converted, encourage the brethren. There's our hope. Our hope is that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who offers up prayers for us. The Lord Jesus Christ had constant communion with the Father. He was in perfect peace. You know what it's like when the Lord just cracks open the window of heaven and allows a little bit of his light to come into your heart. You feel comfort. You feel hope. You feel peace. You feel gladness. And we just get a little bit of it, don't we? And the scripture says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness. That's the Spirit of God above his fellows. He came as the Christ in the full anointing of the Spirit of God. So he spent his whole life in perfect peace, in perfect harmony, in perfect comfort, in perfect fellowship with his Heavenly Father. The little taste of God's grace that we experience moment by moment, day by day, he had the fullness of it all the time. All the time. Perfect bliss perfect strength. And that's what he's saying in Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. When I prayed, me and my Father were just in perfect harmony and perfect communion, in perfect fellowship, perfectly all the time. Now that's something we can't imagine, can we? We don't know what that means. But here's what the Lord experienced. Now, something happened in the garden. The sins of God's people began to be put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his prayers have changed. Now he's praying with a heavy heart. Now he's suffering. Now he's agonizing in prayer. Why is he agonizing in prayer? Why? Why is he sweating great drops of sweat, of bloody sweat? Why? Because already his fellowship with the Father is beginning to be forsaken. Notice what he says in verse 2. In the day of my trouble. His trouble began. My hour has come. Glorify thy Son. And then what he prayed in John 17? His prayers change now. Oh, he's struggling in prayer more than you and I have. What causes you and I to struggle in prayer? It's the lack of awareness of the presence of God, isn't it? We seek to know him, and we're sometimes the heavens are like brass, and we want the Lord's presence, and that's why we're in prayer and hear the Lord's pouring out his soul in prayer, and the Father's not answering. Father's not answering. He's not here. He's not responding. He's not communing with the Father. He's doing, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. With my own heart. You see, he's communing with himself now. And my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? That's why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His communion with the Father has been broken because now he's the sin bearer. The sins of his people are being placed on him, and God's eyes, according to Habakkuk, are too pure to look upon sin. When God saw the sins of his people on his dear Son, see, the Lord Jesus Christ is going into the holies of holies now. You remember when the high priest, once a year, went in and had very detailed instructions on how he was to dress and what he was to wear and how he was to go in through that veil and put that blood. One thing that he couldn't forget, don't come in here without blood. Don't come in here without blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going into that holies of holies. And he is putting his blood, the blood of bulls and goats never put away sin. All those sacrifices of the Old Testament never satisfied the demands of God's holy justice. The Lord Jesus Christ had to do it himself. And this is a window into his heart. You say, well, sometimes I feel like God's mercies are clean gone. Sometimes I feel like the Lord has cast me off. Well, we may feel that way. But God did cast him off. God did forsake him. You see, for God's people, our sins have been on Christ and put away for all eternity. even before we knew the Lord, he knew us. Even before we found deliverance from our sin, our sin had already been put away before him. Christ is that. And that's what the Lord's praying here. Is that I looked into the days of old. What's the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He's reflecting back in his own heart. I communed with my own heart. I'm crying out to God, but God's not answering. God's cutting me off. So I'm communing with my heart, and I'm remembering the days of old. I'm remembering those times when I was with the Father, experiencing his promises. I remember all the way back in eternity when we entered in. You know, how do we speak of these things? How do we speak of these things? We can only talk about them in terms of what we know. In eternity past, what does that mean? In eternity, leave out the word past. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking all the way back, isn't he? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Yeah. No grace at the cross. No tender mercies. The fullness of God's wrath and his justice and his judgment being poured out from heaven on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no idea what that means. But we know he did. And we know he did it for us. We sympathize with somebody goes through a very difficult time that we've never experienced. And we sympathize with them, don't we? We meet someone who's lost a child or maybe going through some real traumatic experience, and we can be brought to tears over the trouble that somebody else has been going through, even though we don't know anything about it. We've not gone through it ourselves. Well, here we're experiencing something that's far beyond our ability to comprehend. God break our hearts and cause us to see what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Turn to me to the book of Hebrews. We've looked at this passage on several occasions in the past. Hebrews chapter 5. Here's Psalm 77. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ offering his prayers and supplications with tears, trusting God, even though he had no fellowship with God. He had no communion with God. Go back with me. You see how much more encouraging this psalm is than if we just read it as the words of Asaph, who's struggling with doubts and fears and depressions and discouragements? Verse 10, "And I said, this is my infirmity." This is my infirmity. This is what I agreed to suffer for my bride. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember that God hasn't changed. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, now becoming the sin bearer, beginning in the garden and going all the way through the cross until he bows his head and says, "It's finished. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The Father hadn't changed. That's what he's hoping in. His hope is, "Father, you haven't changed. I know I've changed in your sight because I'm bearing the sins of my people. But my hope is that you've not changed and that your promises are just as true now as they were when you made them when I was at your right hand. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." There's our hope, isn't it? In times of affliction, in times of discouragement, remembering what God has been faithful to do in fulfilling his promises. And let me give you a little bit of a warning here, because I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I remember what God did for me when he blessed me here and there and spoke to me." I'd be very careful about remembering those kind of things. Because, you know, maybe that wasn't the Lord doing that. I've heard people say, "Well, I know God's for me because he did this or that for me in the past." Yes, he's the same today as he was then. And if he ever blessed you with his grace, you can be sure that he's not going to stop. But here, the Lord's telling us to remember the days of old. Go back beyond your life. Remember the things that I did for my children, Israel. Remember the promises that I made in the covenant of grace. Those will sustain you. Your experiences might be subjective, but these are not. These are not subjective. "I will meditate also on all thy work," verse 12, "and talk of thy doings." I'll meditate on the work that you've done, the work of redemption, the work of atonement, the work of satisfaction, the work of justification. Lord, all those things that you did when you brought your precious blood into the holies of holies and put it on the mercy seat. There's the work that I'll reflect on. I know your work was perfect. I know your work accomplished what you set out to do. And whenever I feel like your mercies are clean gone, that's what I'll think about. That's what I'll look to. And I'll also know that when you said, "Are your mercies clean gone forever?" They were. They were. You knew what you were talking about. "And I will talk of thy doings." You know, when you get discouraged, what do you want to talk about? Now, I don't know much about depression personally. I think a person has to have a lot more intelligence than I have to experience real depression. But I do know this. I know there's some sin involved in depression. I know there's some self-absorption involved in depression. I've talked to people. What do they want to talk about? They want to talk about themselves. They talk about their troubles, their problems, their It's like going down in a well, isn't it? The deeper you go, the darker it gets. And here's what the Lord said. I'll talk of thy doings. Let me talk about what God's done. That'll bring you out. That'll lift your spirits. That'll cause you to get your eyes off yourself. Let's talk about what he's done. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. We saw that in Psalm 73, didn't we? I was jealous. I envied those who walked with no bands in their death. They walked in peace. They didn't struggle with these two natures like I struggle with. And then I went into the sanctuary of my God, and I knew their end. I knew their end. This is the place to come, isn't it? This is where Christ is lifted up. This is where we hear about what he's done, what he's accomplished, what he suffered. Thy way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He said, thy way is in the sanctuary. Here's where I'm going to lead you. And where am I going to lead you? I'm going to lead you to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm not going to lead you to go to Asaph and figure out how to overcome depression. I'm not going to lead you, to look at Moses and figure out how to be a leader. I'm not going to do that. These are men and women who suffered the same thing you suffered, but they got their answer the same place you're going to have to get yours. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What are they witnessing? They're witnessing to the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're witnessing. Thy way is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Who's like you, Lord? Who's going to help me? I can't get help from myself. I can't get help from men. There's nothing in the world to satisfy my need. Oh, but Lord, who's like you? Who's like you? Now here's Christ trusting his Father to deliver him, even though the Father had forsaken him. He had no evidence in terms of his feelings, in terms of his experiences, in terms of the Father communing with him like he had before that night. Remember verse 1, I cried unto God and he answered me. He heard my voice. But now he's not hearing me. And I have no evidence that he's even there. He's not making himself known. That's why I remember. I remember his promises. I remember his works. I remember his ways. And I come to his sanctuary in order to hear about what he's done. Verse 14, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Oh, Lord, that's what I need. I need your strength. I don't need you to bolster my strength. I need to become without strength that I might find my strength in Christ. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Therefore, glory in my infirmities is what Paul said. He might become my strength. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses, isn't it? Verse 15, thou hast. Here's my hope. Thou hast. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that the Father had already put away the sins of his people in the covenant of grace. He was looking back to those promises in that covenant. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Remember the sons of Joseph? Ephraim and Manasseh. And You know, there was 12 sons of Jacob, but Levi didn't have property because that was the priestly tribe. Joseph didn't have property, so we lost two. We got to replace two. Who are they? Ephraim and Manasseh. And what a blessing. Ephraim. Many of God's blessings towards Israel came through the tribe of Ephraim in the Old Testament. And Manasseh was given the most fertile land in all the... David, the Lord saying, not only the sons of Jacob, but the sons of Joseph too. Because they make up the 12 tribes of Israel. All my people are going to be recipients of my blessings. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. Every one of the sons of Jacob and Joseph have been redeemed. Redemption is not something that is made effectual by something we do. The Lord Jesus Christ actually redeemed. When he shed his blood, he went into the holies of holies. He took that blood, he put it on the mercy seat. Not a mercy seat built with hands, not the tabernacle of man, but the tabernacle of God. And God accepted his offer. The Lord was making himself an offering to the Father. God accepted his offer and said, paid, redeemed. All the sons of Jacob and all the sons of Joseph have been bought with a price. The water saw thee, O God. The water saw thee. They were afraid. Now the Lord's reflecting back on the dividing of the Red Sea when Moses was told by God to, you know, the waters got out of the way. They made a way. The waters were afraid. And that's likened unto baptism. And he goes on to say the way of the Lord is through the seas. And so the things that trouble us, the things that afflict us, are afraid in the very presence of God. Look what he says. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out their waters. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightning lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea. In the sea. The troubles, the turbulence, the trials, the afflictions of this life and this flesh is the way. It's the way that God leads his people. And the purpose of that is to cause us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who knew what it was to be forsaken of God. He knew what it was to be made sin. He knew what it was to drink of that bitter cup. Something we don't know anything about. But he did. He did. And he pleased the Father with what he suffered and was rewarded with his church, his bride, for his obedience. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. Oh, how true that is, isn't it? When Romans 8:28 says, and you know that all things do work together for good. You know that. You just don't know how they're going to work together for good, do you? And the afflictions sometimes bring the hows to trouble us. You know, Lord, I don't understand. What you're not going to know. Thy footsteps are not known. Man deviseth his ways, but God orders his steps. You know, we make our plans, and God has a purpose in all of it, doesn't he? He has a purpose. Our God is a God of purpose, and he never fails to fulfill his purpose. That's what the Lord Jesus is believing here on the cross. When he's being forsaken of God, he's saying, Father, I trust you. I trust you. I know that your way is through this sea. That Red Sea in the Old Testament. Isn't it interesting that it's called the Red Sea? Because it's likened unto baptism. And it's a picture of the troubles that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in his death. And we go through that. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses. Was Moses. He's a prophet, isn't he? I will send to you, the scripture says in Deuteronomy, another like unto him, the prophet who will come as the word and make the word of God alive. The word will become flesh. But how do we know the living word? By the revelation of the written word, don't we? How do we know this is what Christ went through? Because he's telling us. He's telling us. This is what, by Moses, the prophet, and Aaron. Aaron, your priest. Your intercessor. He's going to lead us like a shepherd leads his flock. And he's going to show us that the afflictions that he suffered on Calvary's cross. Oh, he understands, brethren, when our feelings are that communed in my own heart, I've cried out my heart, it seems like the mercies of God are clean gone. I don't know. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that. He knew that. And in spite of the fact that that was his experience, he believed God. Perfect faith. We don't have it, do we? He did. He did. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us for being so self-absorbed, Lord, losing sight of what you've accomplished for us. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the revelation that you've given us of what you've experienced in order that we might have life. Lord, we thank you for your patience, your mercy, your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for pitying us as sinners and remembering that we're made of dust. But oh, what great hope and encouragement we have that we have an advocate with the Father, one who wasn't made of dust, one who suffered the full wrath of your justice and was rewarded with his people. We ask it all in his precious name. Amen. All right, let's stand together, Brother Tom.
256.
Number 256. 256. Let's stand together.
Let this blessed assure. assurance, control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall